Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and we will talk to you tomorrow afternoon, so sleep fast. This series will be over, barring a long extra inning, really long extra inning game, less than 24 hours after it started, and the Blue Jays will be bringing their brooms to Chase Field tomorrow. Jays beat the Diamondbacks 5-1. The Blue Jays are now a game and a half out of first place in the American League East. The Baltimore Orioles losing again. Yankees beat them 7-1. Red Sox beat the Giants 4-0. So Boston is a half game back of Baltimore, a game ahead of the Blue Jays. The Jays and Red Sox are the wild card teams. Houston trails the Blue Jays by two games for that second wild card. 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. And long distance, 1-888-666-0590. It's our last late night Blue Jays talk until September. So get your dialing fingers dialing. We're going to start with Stephen in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, where it's even later. Stephen, good job staying up. You're the leadoff man.
Yeah, it is. It's going on two here, but it was worth staying up for. That's for sure. Listening to Sanchez mowing down there.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah, I didn't walk a batter either. That's real impressive. And maybe Stroman can pick up some of this, some of the vibes coming from Sanchez and start pitching consistently again, like he did down the stretch last year.
Well, he wasn't consistent down the stretch last year. He was unbelievable down the stretch last year.
He was. And I don't know, maybe David Price had a lot to do with that, just motivating him, just not saying that he hasn't got it. But
no, I think it was him.
I
think we tend to give too much credit and too much credit to people who don't deserve it and too much blame to people who don't. Marcus Stroman is really good.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's still, this is his first year pitching, Rick's first full year in the majors, right?
First full season, yes.
Yeah, so he's got, you know, I think there's going to be good things coming from him still. But anyway, what I wanted to ask you is about the trade deadline coming up, and if the Yankees are sellers, if they are, it doesn't look like maybe they will be now because they're starting to play better, but if they are, what would it take to get, in your opinion, what would it take to get one of those guys out of their pen there, Patance or Miller? What do you think it would cost the Jays to get them?
I don't think they would trade them to the Jays.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't think that the Yankees would make that move inside the division. First of all, they're not trading Betances. He's still under control for another 3 or 4 years after this one.
Is he? What about Miller?
Miller, I think they'll trade if they wind up being sellers.
Yeah.
But he's still got 3 years on the contract, too, after this. So
I don't think
they want to face him in Toronto for 3 years. But I think the Blue Jays need is more in the rotation than it is in the bullpen. But I don't think the Yankees are going to make that trade in the division.
Just if they, what would it take to, what would they want coming back, do you think, if they did?
Well, the rumor has it. I mean, they're asking for Kyle Schwarber from the Chicago Cubs, who is a phenomenal bat who can catch and play the outfield. So the price is going to be pretty expensive.
And is he a young hitter?
Yes.
He is. I'd like to see Batista stay with the Jays, but I mean, if it means getting the World Series or getting us into the World Series, I mean, like, you know, you got to give up something to get something. But
yeah, it's not Batista though. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate the call. No, we got to go. We're out of time. I'm sorry. We got to go. We got to take a break, and then we'll come back and see if we can squeeze in one more before we let the network go. But we are going to take your calls until 1:30 in the morning here Eastern Time. On our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/590. Blue Jays 5 and the Diamondbacks 1 in the desert. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wide and delivered. It is the curveball, but it's drilled into left field for a base hit. Devin Travis comes in to score, and the Blue Jays now lead it 4-1 on an RBI single by Josh Donaldson.
Donaldson was 3-for-5. Devin Travis was 2-for-5. Edwin Encarnacion 1-for-4 with a 3-run homer. So the top three hitters in the Blue Jays order go 6-for-14, leading the Blue Jays to a 5-1 win over the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Got time for one more call before we let the network go. Of course, after the top of the hour, we'll keep it going on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590. We'll hear from John Gibbons as well. But right now, let's go to Sam in Hamilton. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Mike.
Go ahead.
First, I just got to say, you know, thoughts to Albert Pujols. you know, he got hit in the face tonight. So he's one of my favorite baseball players.
I did not see Albert Pujols getting hit in the face tonight. Anytime that happens, obviously that's pretty brutal. And you just hope he's okay.
Yeah. Now, also, got to give a shout out to AL East. It's the only division with 350 win teams. It's amazing.
It's a good division. It helps by the fact that Tampa Bay is crap, but it's certainly a good division.
Yeah, well, sometimes we struggle against them sometimes, so you can't take credit for them losing. What I wanted to call about was last year, I remember, because it was Arizona, I kind of made a trade, the proposal on the show about Mark Trumbo for Aaron Sanchez. Now, the kind of ironic part is that both of them are all-stars, so it's kind of funny. So I wanted to throw a trade proposal for you tonight. And it kind of might be MLB The Show type of trade. But what about straight up Marcus Stroman for Joey Gallo?
No.
Well, the reason why I say that is because I know we have Hutch, and so we can fill Stroman's position. And plus, you're going to need a younger outfield.
Yeah, I understand that. But first of all, and I appreciate the call as always, Sam. You don't trade a top flight starting pitcher for a good hitting prospect. One, I think the starting pitching is more valuable. And I know Joey Gallo is a spectacular bat prospect. Hasn't had any success in the major leagues yet, but it's just a spectacular bat prospect. But the idea that the Blue Jays can afford to trade a starting pitcher is not reasonable. They can't. They have Drew Hutchison in the minors, and then that's it. And Aaron Sanchez is going to the bullpen, and somebody's probably going to get hurt. They have no starting pitching to spare. Postgame's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sanchez looks back in second. Strike one pitch. Jumbo weakly at the first, backhanded by Edwin. Go to the bag. Underhand toss to Aaron. Step on the bag. The inning is over. And Sanchez once again helps his own cause here like he did back in the fourth inning. Here, he ends it with a put out to end the seventh, leaving a double and a hit batter on.
Aaron Sanchez wasn't in many jams tonight, but he managed to pitch out of them rather deftly. In the third inning, first and second, nobody out, and he managed to strand both those runners. First and second, one out in the fourth, and he got a double play ball from Nick Ahmed. And then that play right there, after hitting Ricky Weeks with a pitch with two out to bring the tying run to the plate in Gene Segura, he got that ground ball the first to get out of the inning. Jason Grilli, a hitless eighth. Roberto Osuna, a perfect ninth. The Blue Jays beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-1. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590 until 1:30 a.m., which sounds really late, but it's only 26 minutes from now. And we'll get to your calls in a second, but first let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's win.
Gibby, sometimes it's his curveball, but tonight seemed to be the fastball that he really had going.
He's primarily pitching with the fastball. He didn't throw a lot of curveballs. It was a little erratic. He did drop a couple good ones in there, but that just kind of tells you what kind of pitcher he's turned into, you know, where he's got command of both sides of the plate now with that fastball, where he, you know, was a young kid a year ago, and you know, I mean, he'd miss out of the zone a lot up in the zone. You don't see that as much anymore. So he's come along a hell of a long way.
How big was the inning when he had runners on second and third and was able to get those three outs without allowing a run to come in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's always big because, you know, that can change the complexion of a game right there. You know, of course, then we got the big home run out of Eddie again here. But we played a good game, you know, and then, Grilli, after a great at bat by Bourne, gets a double play, which is big because they're right there in the middle of their lineup. So, yeah, good all-around game.
Edwin seems to own this building in terms of eight home runs for you guys.
Seven games,
yeah.
The only problem is it's free agent. They got Goldschmidt here. If they had average Joe, they might sign him, but, you know, he I don't know what it is. He likes hitting here.
Gibby, with Sanchez, do you think maybe pitching in the All-Star game actually could have helped him a little bit, just with that long layoff, actually getting some like quality work in during that break?
Well, you know, actually early on I thought it might have affected him, you know, the long layoff, because I think he threw that Saturday before. So it's been a long layoff. I thought he was a little bit off early on. You know, that can work both ways. He needs it. They all need it, you know, to rest their arms up. But, you know, it kind of throws them out of the routine and that, you know, that, you know, because it's repeating the delivery and finding those grooves. And too much of a layoff can affect certain guys, you know. But, you know, he battled it. I thought he got better as he went on. But as far as confidence, I mean, you know, you pitch in the All-Star game as a young kid, does wonders for your confidence.
Presence in ballparks on the road?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, especially when you look behind our dugout, it was basically all blue. Yeah, it's a. I was looking at the stat sheet today. I think we're the top drawn road team. So people, you know, people showing up in whatever town it is, plus all our fans. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. You know, it really is.
In a general sense, this is a unique situation with Sanchez. Just in general. You got to take this guy out of the rotation at some point. If you do it, I mean, that's just got to be a really hard thing. This kid's a really great pitcher, and
it's a dilemma.
Talk about how tough that's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, if and when it happens, we're not going to be real popular, you know, out there in that room in there probably. But it hasn't happened yet.
Right.
Somebody's got to wear it if it does, though. You know who that'll be.
Is that why you got the aspirin there? Just preparing.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Get the blood out.
Thanks, Gibby.
All right, guys.
There he is, John Gibbons. When the decision's made to take Aaron Sanchez out of the rotation, like he said, somebody's going to wear it, and it's probably going to be John Gibbons. Even though, I mean, you can't. How can you ask a guy to jump 100 innings year over year? That's close to what they're going to be asking Aaron Sanchez to do if they don't take him out of the rotation at some point, moving to the bullpen. Right now, Aaron Sanchez has pitched 125 and a third innings this season, so 6 innings shy of his career high at any level. If things progress the way that they're progressing, remember, we're not even at the two-thirds mark of the year. He's got another start to go before that. Let's say he's at 132, two-thirds of the way through the season. That is a 200-inning pace for a season. Plus playoffs? You just can't. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Lawrence in Toronto. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Mike. I can hear an echo.
Really? Try to ignore it, and we'll try to fix it. What's
up? Okay, sounds good. No problem. You are wrong.
Uh-oh.
He is going to stay in the starting rotation. There's two reasons I'm saying that.
Okay.
One.
Yeah.
Because in an interview at the All-Star game, he just said he said it felt uncomfortable coming out of the bullpen, and hopefully he doesn't have to do that again.
Yeah, it's not up to him, though. And two? Fair
enough. It's up to somebody who kept him in the game in the seventh inning as he took the at-bat, and then he ran all the way through second base. What are they doing? If they're actually going to, like, come on, take him out of the game, preserve have some of his innings. What's up with that? WTF around this. Storyline's getting boring.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Why was he hitting in the seventh inning? Why didn't
because there's not
out?
A strict innings count on Aaron Sanchez. There seems to be this fallacy idea out there that there's a specific count of how many innings he's going to pitch, and then they're either going to move him to the bullpen or they're going to shut him down. There are a lot of things that are going to go into that decision, and part of it is that when he's pitching well and cruising, you just keep going.
It was a 4-1 lead.
Yeah? Have you?
They didn't need him in there running the bases.
Oh, it has nothing to do with his arm running the base. He's not a piece of glass. He's a professional athlete. And the idea that pitchers shouldn't run the bases. I mean, if you're going to play in a game in which a pitcher's hitting, you're gonna have to run the bases sometimes. And I don't think they ever expected him to get on base anyway.
Estrada hurt his back partly because of swinging the bat.
Yes, it's true. Estrada had a bad back anyway, though. Appreciate the call. Look, it's not, you know, I've heard from a lot of people, save an inning here, preserve an inning there. Why are you throwing him that one extra inning? If he's pitching well, if they're low stress innings, if they're easy innings, those count a lot less than other sorts of, okay, let's get him out of the game. Like last Saturday before the All-Star break, when he wasn't pitching well, they got him out after five. Richard in Toronto. Hey, Richard.
Hello, Mike. Well, lo and behold, I want to talk about the same question.
Hopefully you phrase it better than the last guy did.
Yes. Well, I have to admit, I'm having a difficult time wrapping my head around it just because Aaron Sanchez has been so incredible. I mean, he's making it look easy. So, I mean, I say continue to monitor him closely, but as long as he's pitching like this and unless he's complaining about fatigue or a problem with his arm, I mean, why not ride him? And the other thing I wanted to say is...
Well, wait, let me answer that first, because it doesn't work that way, right? When you look at the recent history of pitchers who have suffered catastrophic arm injuries, none of them have been complaining about fatigue beforehand. None of them have had, you know, visible decreases in velocity or stuff or anything like that beforehand. It just happens on a pitch. Their elbows explode and they're going well and everything's fine, or they're pitching like they always pitch. So I think, again, that this idea that there are going to be signs, there are going to be indications that, okay, it's time to move Aaron Sanchez out of the rotation. By then it's already too late.
Okay, but these other pitchers who this has happened to, have they also been pitchers who haven't pitched a lot of innings in the majors?
Well, it's not in the majors. It's anywhere for him. But, yeah, there have been guys who, like Jose Fernandez, who went down recently a couple of years ago, Vincent Velasquez, guys like that. There's no specific, you know, there's no if you do X, a guy's elbow is going to explode. And there's no if you do X, a guy's elbow isn't going to explode. It's all about trying to mitigate risk and risk factors. And one of those risk factors is an enormous leap in innings pitch from year to year.
But, I mean, isn't that the case as well with Marcus Stroman?
Nope.
No?
No, Stroman has had a 170-inning season in his past. Sanchez has never thrown more than 130.
Okay, well, one more thing about this.
Sure.
A few weeks ago, I heard an interview with Ross Atkins, and they were asking him about this, and he said something to the effect of, well, we don't deal in absolutes.
Right, they don't.
So
that's why there's no absolute number of innings at which he's going to be moved to the bullpen.
So you wouldn't interpret that as we're not going to move him to the bullpen?
No.
Okay.
Because it's, look, I mean, I get what you're saying. I do. And I understand that a lot of people feel the same way because he's pitching so well. And I've heard so many times, how can you move this guy to the bullpen when he's pitching so well?
Well, he's an all-star.
But it has nothing.
He's 7-0 on the road. I mean, it's incredible.
It has nothing to do with performance.
Right.
It has nothing to do with performance. It's about keeping him healthy, plain and simple.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. By the way, the Blue Jays' closest competitors in the wild card race are Houston Astros. Jays lead by 2 games. Houston is in Oakland, and the Oakland A's just tied it up in the bottom of the 9th inning on what looks like what Coco Crisp thought. Coco Crisp doubled, thought it was a home run, was trotting around the bases, and got picked off between second and third. So it's a 3-3 tie, but there's nobody on and two out instead of having a runner at third and one out. So the Oakland A's are still playing Oakland A's baseball. Jennifer is in Toronto. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello. The Aaron Sanchez argument is always interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see it as much of an argument. I see it as...
No, I know. He was cruising tonight. There was really no... debate. But my main concern is can I ask a question about options?
Of course.
I've seen enough of Junior Lake and Ezequiel Carrera. I would love to see Dalton Pompey up. Are they afraid to bring him up because it might compromise his trade value? Because I could see him having so much value on the bench as a pinch runner, whatever. I don't see how Ezequiel Carrera and Junior Lake are offering any more value than Dalton Pompey, who seems to come back from his concussion too.
Yeah, he's back from his concussion and hitting well. The thing is, with Dalton Pompey, first of all, the reason that he wasn't called up when Jose Bautista got hurt was because he was hurt.
I know that.
And because Ezequiel Carrera had sort of earned the right.
Yeah.
Oh, he was hitting 340 at the time, so he had absolutely earned the right.
224 or something.
Now I think he's down to like 270 overall, but he's hitting 217 since he took over.
Yeah,
he's not hitting well, but he's getting on base. He's not doing well. But look,
when we're playing Baltimore and Boston, I would love to see Pompey not only defensively, but what a difference he would make if we could put him in as a pinch runner or something.
Right, but you don't bring up a 23-year-old in July to be a pinch runner.
No, to be an outfielder.
Right, but there's no room for him in the outfield. Jose Bautista is going to be back on Monday.
You watch Junior Lake.
There's nothing wrong with Junior Lake. Junior Lake is a fine fifth outfielder.
What's he doing?
He's a fifth outfielder. You know, that's what happens when you're
everything. He can't get a hit.
Well, that's not true at all.
When
your starter's hurt, you use backups, and backups are not as good as your starter. That's why they're backups, and that's why.
So when would we bring up Dalton Pompey?
Because you're only going to need these guys for another 4 days. And then Jose Bautista will be back.
I think he's a game changer. I honestly do. I think Dalton Pompey, to put him in, even as a pinch runner, I don't want to bring him up in September. I think these games are important.
Right. You don't bring up a 23-year-old who's got a future as an everyday outfielder in the major leagues to be a pinch runner in the middle of July and cost him 150 at-bats in AAA. You just don't. Jose Bautista apparently will be back on Monday if all goes well. Dalton Pompey just came back off of a concussion. So he'll be here. He'll be there in September. He'll be helping out in September. But unless another starting outfielder goes down, I don't think we're going to see Dalton Pompey up in the major leagues until September. Blue Jays beat the Diamondbacks 5-1. Josh is in Keswick. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Mike, I hate to bombard you with the same topic over and over again with the Sanchez issue here.
If you got a different take,
like
go ahead.
Provide a logical explanation or a logical reason why he should stay in the rotation.
Sure, if you have one.
Well, why didn't the Jays from day one to begin this season, why didn't they just skip one start every month? So that would be six starts. Say that's an average of six innings per start. That's 36 innings less per season, and that's giving them gradual rest over the entire season.
And you're still about 200 innings, including playoffs.
Yeah. But
which is way too much.
So maybe you push it to average of 1.5 per month.
Who's filling in these 1.5 starts per month?
Drew Hutchison.
And you're just bringing him up and sending him down and bringing him up and sending him down.
Yeah, spot
nine
starts.
Times
I mean,
over the course
he's already
of the
done
season.
It a couple times.
A couple of times, but you know, you bring him up, has to be down 10 days. How's that possibly good for Drew Hutchison to make him a guy who's going to start three times in the major leagues every 2 months plus?
Then you can start Chavez one time, or I don't know. You can figure that out. I just think rest periodically would have been a better solution, so you may not be in this issue right now.
I don't think that's good for everybody else. And I don't know how great it is for Sanchez either, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. But I know you've been pushing Sanchez to the bullpen since spring training, which
I haven't
personally
been pushing
never
it.
Agreed
I think
with.
It's,
but
it's the only thing you can do. It's the only thing you can do to do your best to protect the health of the player.
So my thought here is, though, like you've said, there's no concrete number of innings where a pitcher's elbow magically explodes.
Correct.
So I figure whether he stays in the rotation the rest of the season or goes to the bullpen, there's still a good chance his elbow could just explode one day.
Yes.
So I figured
you want to lessen that chance as much as possible.
Hope for the best. Try and win the World Series this year, because in a few years, when the Yankees go splurging in free agency in 2018, it's going to be tougher for them to compete. Like, the window is this year.
You don't sacrifice the health of a 23-year-old. You just don't. I mean, you know, people talk about saying, you know what, he'll have surgery. The Yankees will be winning by then. It's a very, very flip way to talk about someone's health and having miss a year of his career and having, you know, someone have to undergo major surgery. It just, you can't do that.
But, I mean, Tommy John is pretty successful. I mean,
it's still major surgery.
It's still a human being having to go major surgery. Bullpen or stays in the rotation, there's still a good chance he's going to get it anyway.
But there is less of a chance.
No one is meant to huck 96 with your arm all the time.
Mitigate the risk, right? You want there to be as little a chance as you can possibly humanly provide to him. And by saying, well, you know what, it's going to happen anyway, just let him finish out this year and let's have a 100-inning increase year to year and hope nothing bad happens. You just can't do that. It's negligent and borderline abusive. So looking at the reaction to that Coco Crisp thing, where he thought he hit a home run, there are a lot of people out in Oakland who think that he thought the game was tied when he was at the plate and that he had walked it off. Whatever it is, you will see that replay a whole bunch of times. I can't wait to hear from him after the game. Houston and Oakland are tied 3-3 as they play in the top of the 10th. Blue Jays beat the Diamondbacks 5-1. And they're now just a game and a half out of first place in the AL East. Jesse is in Thornhill. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, Mike. So sorry to keep piling on the Sanchez wagon here, but
I agree.
The future's more important. He's a young guy, and you don't want to see Matt Harvey, anything like that. I'm just curious, if they throw him in the pen, you know, anytime soon, let's just say early August, there's about 50 games left. Let's say he makes 35 appearances. What's the actual discrepancy going to be between his innings coming in, you know, in the eighth for one inning at a time, you know, out of 50 games, maybe 35 appearances?
He's not going to make 35 appearances in 50 games.
So that's still limit his appearances. Like, he won't be.
No, but nobody makes 35. Relief pitchers don't make 110 appearances a year. And that's what 35 appearances in 50 games basically is. In 50 games, I would think he would make somewhere between 18 and 23 appearances.
Right. And if he was starting, you know, going eight starts, you know, 5-6 innings a start, I guess there's a huge difference.
No, you're talking
there.
About a third of a season. So a third of a season, you're talking about 10 starts.
Right.
So the way he's going, about 70 innings. So it would go from 70 innings to about 18.
Big difference. And then in the postseason, would they be able to use him every day if they needed to in the eighth inning, if they get there?
They wouldn't use him every day. But they would probably, I mean, he'd be able to pitch, I don't know, 5 times in a 7-game series.
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll have that problem. You know, it's funny to hear all these people complaining, I just want to say, just because, you know, in 2-3 years, if there was ever an issue down the line, they'd be the first ones to say, well, you know, darn, should have thrown him in the pen that year.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
But that's the way sports fans work.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it is a big, big difference. Don't kid yourself between the potential innings he would pitch out of the bullpen and leaving him in the rotation. Dave is in Vancouver. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. Don't tell me it isn't sold that, you know, come September, that's the next time that we actually get games that are late in the evening, because, you know, I'm out there in the garden watering. Okay, I lied, because it rains here every day and has for 2 weeks. It's a wet coast. But seriously, Mike, we enjoy these late games. I know it's tough on you people back east, but another good win, Sanchez, coming up with a good performance. And, yeah, I mean, I guess the management has to be prudent, as people have suggested. We look at the New York Mets example. But, you know, the team is playing well. You know, Mike, I know that you have, the hide of a rhinoceros for the criticisms you're going to take. Some of it, well, maybe just a lot of it not. And, you know, you get some of these blog sites, you know, they set up in their mom's basement suite, and they got 10 disciples, and they start ripping into you and your collars and so on and think it's funny. They're not. But the bottom line here is you are a professional, and the name of the game is entertain. You entertain, and I look forward to that series down in Seattle when 15 to 20,000 of us head down there to the great Emerald City and to help their economy. But more importantly, cheer the Jays on as we go into another playoff. Mike, always loving the program. God bless you, and always enjoying the show.
Thanks, Dave. Always appreciate the Dave in Vancouver monologues. I don't know what spurred that one on, but we'll certainly take it. Greg is in Barrie. Hey, Greg, you're next on Jays Talk.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, I'm not as rehearsed as that last guy, but listening to the conversation about Sanchez got me thinking about Strasburg a couple years ago with the Nats. They had a good chance of making some serious noise in the playoffs, and all of a sudden his season was over. Didn't make a start, and
That was on Scott Boras. Scott Boras insisted that Steven Strasburg throw no more than 180 innings in that 2013 season, right? That was the year that the Nationals were, was that the year that they shut him down, or was it 2012? He threw 180 in 2013 and 160 in 2012. And it was 2012 where they shut him down at 160 innings, and the Nationals went on to the playoffs, but they lost in the first round, and Strasburg could have helped him. And then 2 years later, the arm blew out. And look, that was all on Scott Boras, and he was the one who insisted this is the way to keep him healthy. It didn't keep him healthy. I don't know that there's a comparison, because they're not going to shut Sanchez down. They're going to send him to the bullpen, but it just goes back to the whole, nobody has any idea of when a guy's elbow is going to explode and how not to make a guy's elbow explode. It's all about mitigating risk, and that's what Boras thought he was doing with a hard innings limit. Things have evolved since then, and people are learning more all the time. But we still don't know. The most we can do, as I've said many times tonight, is try to make sure that we're being as risk-averse as possible with this guy's health and future. Got time for one more? Time for one more as the Blue Jays beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-1. Jacob is in Georgetown. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good. You got a minute.
All right, well, I just want to talk about Aaron Sanchez's innings limit. I agree with shutting him down and putting him towards the bullpen, but I feel as if it should be about a 160-170 limit because of how much stronger he's gotten, and it would really help him towards getting to about 210-220 the next season instead of making that limit, the gap between years smaller.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what's going on with your phone there. That was pretty weird. But I don't think there is a hard limit as far as a number is concerned. And I don't think they're going to say at this number he has to go to the pen, or at this number he doesn't, or anything like that. It is hard for me to imagine that he's going to throw more than 180 innings this year. And again, he's at 125 right now. It does seem like it's going to be somewhere around 160, 170. But again, there's not going to be a clear, all right, this is it, and we're not going beyond that. And if he gets to 160 this year and he's strong, you can have him be all limits off next year as long as he stays healthy and strong. But you're right, he is bigger and stronger this year. But the thing is, when you get bigger and stronger, your ligaments don't get bigger and stronger. They just have more work to do to hold those muscles together. So I don't know that that really has anything to do with anything. Thanks for all the calls. Appreciate them. We'll do this again on a Wednesday afternoon. The Blue Jays back at it looking for the sweep. We're on at 3:30 Eastern. for a 3:40 first pitch. Marcus Stroman against Patrick Corbin. Today was a 5-1 win in Arizona. The Jays are just a game and a half out of first in the AL East. We'll see you tomorrow.